The U.S. Food and Drug Administration just issued emergency use authorization for a new kind of test for the coronavirus. It's called antigen testing. Joining me now to get a handle on how this test works and what's different about it is Dr. Sharon Esern. She's a professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. Dr. Esern, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mike. Glad to be back.
So a lateral flow immunofluorescent sandwich assay that is used with a SOFIA 2 instrument. That's like the technical term for this new antigen test. What is an antigen test in plain English?
Okay, an antigen test. So right now there's different types of technologies out there to detect coronavirus and pieces of coronavirus. The ones that we've heard about so far, the molecular test, that one looks at the viral genome. That's what we call the PCR test that looks for copies of the genome, and that typically is used to look for an active infection. So if someone has a COVID-19 infection, you can pull out the viral genome there. The other one that we've seen is called a serology assay, and the serology is looking at a patient's blood, looking for evidence that they had been infected at some point in the past. So it's not looking for an active infection, it's looking at their response to SARS-CoV-2 infection. Now, what an antigen test is looking at, it's looking at pieces of the virus. So the virus is made up of protein and nucleic acid. The nucleic acid is the genome. So an antigen is a piece of a protein or parts of a protein. And so an antigen assay is looking specifically at a productive, active, or acute infection. And so it should be, pieces of the virus should be present during an active infection. So this particular lateral flow assay, it's very similar to the technology works just like a home pregnancy test. There's so basically you take a sample and it's looking for, and the strip has antibodies specific to SARS-CoV-2. And so basically you put your sample in there, it binds to a particular protein. The protein that there's different structural proteins on the virus. The one that we hear in the news a lot about is the spike protein that has, you know, that corona look, the crown looking thing. That's how the virus attaches to the host cell. The nuclear protein is the target for this particular test kit. And the nuclear protein is the part of the virus coat that surrounds the viral genome. So it is intimately associated with the genome of the virus. And it has, and I think one of the reasons that they use this nuclear protein as a target is because it has a high number of copies or copy numbers. There are rapid tests for other viruses. For example, there's a rapid test for influenza, and that rapid test also looks at the influenza nucleoprotein. So that appears to be a good target for these tests.
Okay.
So put your
No, so I was going to ask. So this is the kind of test, if you thought you might have flu-like symptoms and you went into a clinic, they would do something similar to this except for the flu virus.
Right. And then a little, so pregnancy tests, you could look at it at home and you don't need any additional instruments. But for this particular test, in order to increase the sensitivity of the test, you can't really just visually look at the strip. They have to put the strip inside a little reader and instrument because it's detecting fluorescence. The antibody that is used to find or detect the viral protein, the nucleoprotein, has a little tag that can be visualized with fluorescence, and so you need to put it inside an instrument, and that's what they're calling, I believe, their SOFIA or SOFIA 2. It's a little fluorometer that's a reader that they can use to read out.
Gotcha. So that's where the fluorescence comes in. I was gonna try to clarify that. So thank you for doing that. Fair to describe this kind of test as quicker or more rapid, but less accurate than the PCR test?
Yes. So this is quicker. So PCR test, you collect the sample and you have to send it out, and it has to be, you know, run through an instrument. This particular one, you can get the readout in about 15 minutes. And so it's very specific to SARS-CoV-2, but it's not as sensitive, meaning that you can get some negatives that are truly positive. So the rate of false positives is fairly high compared to the molecular test, which is the PCR test. This one's running at 80% as opposed to 100% as far as sensitivity, meaning can it pull it up? but it's very specific. It's running at about 100% in comparison to the molecular test.
So, A, that male mockingbird is really having a time right now. And, and B, so people who test negative but are demonstrating symptoms will probably then have to be tested PCR to rule out a false negative.
I believe, yeah, absolutely. That would be the way to go. So if they test positive with the antigen test, chances are they are, you know, SARS-CoV-2 positive. If they test negative and they have symptoms, that should be followed up with the molecular or PCR test.
So is this the kind of testing that you could do in your lab here at FGCU if you had the right resources?
Yes, this could be it could be done in a lab. It could be done outside of the lab. All you really need is a particular instrument to read it. Now, I don't have that particular same instrument in my lab. I have other instruments that could read fluorescence activity, just not necessarily the same one that the company is using with their kit.
Hmm. Do you know if any college campuses' labs have been turned over to any kind of testing for COVID-19 just in general through your network of people?
Actually, there have. I have colleagues at Louisiana State University in Shreveport who are doing active qRT-PCR testing for their community. So they have a van, they go out, mobile van, they go out and get samples, and they bring them back to their labs, and they're doing qRT-PCR for their community.
Hmm. Anything else you're tracking before we let you go here? Anything else you're tracking when it comes to virology, the scientific community, what's going on with this?
So one of the things that I'm next looking at is dental practices and when that's going to start back up because of the COVID-19. A lot of dental practices have been closed other than for emergency procedures. And I'm looking forward, sort of on a selfish note, to be able to go back and get my regular cleaning, which has been postponed for many months now. But just how that's going to happen, what preventive measures need to get into place, whether or not they're going to do pre-triage. And there's even talk about using specific types of mouthwashes to rinse out before an oral exam. So I'm sort of looking at how is this going to move forward as we move into the fall.
Well, keep me posted on that. That's definitely something that I've been thinking about trying to put a show together on, so we will do that. That is all the time we have for the show. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Sharon E. Cern, is a professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University and a virologist. Sharon, thanks for your time as always.
Thanks again, Mike.
And thanks also to our earlier guest, Collier County Commissioner Penny Taylor. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Julie Glenn, Andrea Perdomo, and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR, for Southwest Florida.